praise you, Jesus. Are you ready for the Word? Turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 11. And for this season we're in, I'm dedicating Sunday night to preaching on faith, teaching how to access the blessings out of the kingdom of God. Amen. Mark chapter 11, verse 22 says, have faith in God, or have the God kind of faith. Have faith like God has faith. Learn to believe for supernatural manifestation. We're called to be supernatural people. Now listen. We've been talking about some radical things already tonight, just in the announcements. Raising the dead. Amen. Gross falling off. You know, miracles, cancers leaving. I just can't believe all that. Then get into the Word and expose yourself to people who do believe it so you can believe it. Amen? Because faith is contagious, but so is unbelief. Get around people of faith, because the Word of God declares clearly we're to do the greater works. Jesus said we would do greater works than He did because He goes to the Father. Amen? And faith lets us access God's power and promises. God, see, you know, I have several different bank accounts. Well, I shouldn't say several. I have a bank account with my checking. I have a PayPal account. I have credit cards, you know, with their own account numbers. And if I want to access those accounts, I got to know the account number. You follow me? If I just call on a credit card, they want to know, okay, what's the account number? What's your Social Security number? What's your zip code? What's your mother's maiden name? And what's the town you grew up in? You know, whatever you know. Your father's mother's favorite color. And they ask you all these questions to verify it's your account. Once you validate it's your account, then they will make transfers out of that account into, you know, your need. Right? And you got to know the account number. Amen. Faith is the account number to the accounts God set up in our name. Amen. It says in 1 Peter, that you can sow into a kingdom and lay up, how can I say, savings that neither rust nor moth can corrode or corrupt. Amen. An account reserved in heaven for you. And if you know the account number to what God's laid up for you, you can make withdrawals. If you know the account number for God's savings account, which is anything you need up in heaven, whatever supply there is, whether it's healing for yourself, healing for someone else, finances, joy, victory, strength, it's all supplied by God. It's in His grace account package. But and to withdraw from it, you can come to the teller door and say, oh God, your word has promises for me. And I just beg you right now that you would heal me. Wrong account number. Oh God, I just plead with you. I'll clean the church for 2 weeks if you just meet my financial need. Wrong account number. You follow me? The account number to God's accounts in your name. It's in your name. But the account number you must know is faith. So you must come to God believing what He has said, believing that He is and what He has said, right? So you come and say, Father, I know that you supplied healing for my body. You provide finances for my life. And the account number is, I believe I receive. Do you follow me? I know it's mine, I speak the word, and I believe I receive the promise you've laid up for me. And a faith connection is made. You know, it's kind of like if you've seen one of the movie producers now, when they start the movie, has like this safe opening, all these tumblers and gears going, you know, and these doors open from, anybody seen it, know what I'm talking about? Lionsgate. They start off with all this stuff. And that's kind of like what happens when you learn faith, is it's a voice activated lock. I believe you've provided for me what I need right now. All these things start moving and the doors swing open and you can make a withdrawal. But God's promise system does not work on doubt and unbelief. It says in James chapter 1, when you come to God, believe. Because if you doubt, you'll be like driven with the wind and tossed. Don't think you'll receive anything from God. What happens? You're going, well, God, I can't cry any more tears. Please, please meet the need. Don't you love it? Don't you love when you try to enter in your code numbers and it goes on you? Run the card. That's the way it works when you come to God without faith. When you come hoping instead of believing. Amen? And this is, have the God kind of faith and watch the windows of heaven open to you and the doors of His supply swing open in your life. But you must believe. Amen. He goes on and he says, whosoever, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe. Everybody say believe. Believe. Say believe.
Believe.
Now say it like you're in the military. Believe.
Believe.
Ha! Believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Amen. You must believe. And God says, if you believe, nothing shall be impossible to you. And we've been talking about this believing, right? And how did we find that believing comes? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word. Faith comes by being exposed to the supernatural, including the supernatural Word of God. Did you know faith doesn't come by just reading the Bible? It only comes by reading the Bible under the influence of the Holy Spirit, unveiling the Word to you in a supernatural fashion. There are people that have memorized the Bible that don't have any faith, believe it's just a great book to memorize. But those that understand that's the Word of God and God cannot lie and what He said He will do, and read it with that attitude saying, God birthed it in me. The Holy Spirit brings it to life. And faith is developed. Again, I mentioned this many times, but I taught the kids last Tuesday night at Grace Main. And we stopped on the way and I stopped and got me a quarter pounder with cheese. Took it in with a bag, and before I went in, I took a big wad of grass out from behind the church, filled the bag with grass. And I said to the kids as I was getting started, I said, in fact, Cody was in that, but he can't hear me right now. Cody was in it. And oh, praise God, that's a whole other testimony. And I said to the kids, listen, I didn't get time to eat my supper. I have a hamburger. I want to eat my hamburger. And I pulled out the wad of grass and started to eat it, but I didn't. I said, here's my hamburger. And the kids are going, that's grass, you know. It's grass. I said, yeah, but if properly processed by a cow, it becomes hamburger. Do you follow me? A cow has the ability to take that grass and turn it into prime grade A number one, prime rib, ribeye, New York strip, whatever, and hamburger. But the way the cow does it is because I talked about humans cannot process grass. We don't digest grass. We're not built for it. Amen. But the cow, with his three-part stomach, takes in the grass. He chews it, swallows it, it's digested on for a while, brings it back up, chews it later again, may chew it several times until the grass is broken down to its individual atomic and molecular components so that the cow can absorb it into his system and the cells of the cow then convert that to beef. And the six-year-olds were just understanding every word. But what was grass becomes beef. And that's how we develop faith. The word meditate in the Bible means to bring in and chew on like a cow chews cud. To meditate it, to pass it through your mind, to ponder it, to ruminate on that word until it becomes part of your way of thinking and understanding. And the way faith is developed by taking the Word of God, reading it, and then rereading it, thinking about it, thinking, how does this apply to me? What does it mean in my life? What does it enable me to do? Until all of a sudden, what was just a scripture of the Bible becomes part of you. And faith is developed. Faith, we say faith comes by hearing and hearing. Really, a better way to put it, I believe, would be faith comes by meditating. Faith comes by experiencing and meditating the results of the Word of God, the manifestation of the Word of God. And so later, I took my real hamburger out and ate it instead, put the grass back and says it needs more processing. The point being is, we have to build our faith. Faith does not come by accident. Faith is developed on purpose. Amen? And of course, I believe when you pray in the Spirit, when you pray in tongues, you sow mysteries unto God, you open the Bible and revelation comes out of the Word, you meditate that revelation, faith happens. For the world, something else happens. For the saint, faith happens. And Jesus said, when you have faith and you believe, you can do anything. Now, we've been talking about believing for several weeks. In fact, let me go one or two more verses on this before I change gears. Let me find which ones I was going to. First Thessalonians. First Thessalonians chapter 2. Have you got it? And it says verse 13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you receive the Word of God, you receive the Word of God. You received it not as the Word of men, but as it is in truth, the Word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. Here the Bible, the Word of God, makes it clear that the power of the Word is only released in those who believe. But in those who believe, it is effectually operating. It is effective to produce change. It's effective to bring you success and victory. See, one of the problems we have in the church today is we've not received the faith message. We thought you just go to church, you try to be a nice person, behave yourself in certain fashions, amen, repent when you make a mistake, and you're on the high calling of God. When, listen, you don't even get started into fulfilling God's call without faith. And understanding faith and intentionally using faith. I believe these end times, God's raising up His glorious, spotless bride. Amen? His church that is moving into the fullness of His plans and purposes. And it's going to require people that understand, develop, and apply themselves to faith. To learn to use it as a tool. You know, I was mentioning this morning about the Spirit of God telling you when I'm in the garage, He'll say, you know, you're getting screwed up. He says, don't forget the crescent wrench. Remember the crescent wrench this morning? And you go ahead and say, well, I know more than God knows. You leave, you forget the crescent wrench, and you got to go back and get it later. Extra trip. Well, I found out when you're working on things, you need specific tools. And I've worked on a lot of different trades, a lot of different stuff, and I have tools. Some of you may have more tools than could be, but I have a lot of tools. And I've got various different types of tools designed for what I need. And I'm always looking to buy another tool because I may need to do, or I may have a need for this to do this type of job. When I bought that Tahoe here, you know, last month, went to take the front seats off, and I didn't have a certain socket that it took to get that seat off. What I have to do? Sears over here, buy the tool I needed for that specific job. And faith is God's tool to produce any work in His kingdom. Faith is God's tool to access His power to accomplish His calling on your life. And no faith, no supernatural results. No faith, no supernatural manifestation. Amen? And we need the supernatural. Listen, Mr. Ponytail up there, who's always trying to harass and bombard our lives, has more power than you do in the natural. He's got more strength than you do. He's got more knowledge than you do. He's been around a long time. He's laying traps for you all over the place. And you, in your natural ability, do not have the ability or the power to overcome Satan or any of his demonic hordes. Amen? For one, they don't play fair. But the power of God, the power of the third heaven, has power over the second heaven, has power over the powers of darkness. Amen? It says we've been given power to trample on snakes and scorpions. Amen? Over every creeping thing and over all the power of the enemy, of the wicked one. Amen? We've been given supernatural power over him, but faith accesses that power. No faith, no supernatural access to the ability to overcome. And you will be subject to the powers of darkness all of your days. You must believe. Amen? You must believe in the power of God to operate supernaturally. You must believe in your rights to go to God for prayer to even hear from Him. Did you know you hearing from God in prayer requires faith? I feel a vein that we're going to go down here. Rabbit trail, we're going to go down here for a minute. Anybody want to hear from God? It takes faith to hear from God. See, some of the confessions, if you want to move deeper into God, you have to correct is the one where you say, I never hear from God. God never talks to me. You've already released your faith not to hear. He's up there going. I'd like to tell them some stuff, but they've already declared I can't talk to them. I never get anything out of the Bible. Holy Ghost saying, I want to reveal it to you, but you won't shut your yap. Make a faith connection. I don't care if you've never heard from God or you feel like you've never got a word from God. Declare, I could come boldly into His presence and I know His voice and He speaks to me and I hearken to what He says. Never say I don't get anything out of the Bible. Say I always comprehend the Word. Every time I open the book, I get something from God. He's leading me in accelerated fashion because He's always speaking to me and guiding me in the path I should go down. Yes. What are you doing? You're getting your faith involved in hearing God. You don't receive anything from the kingdom without faith. Amen. Now back to Mark chapter 11. Now we're going to get into some stuff. He says again in verse 23, For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say, everybody say say. What does say mean? To speak words, right? If your mouth is closed, you're not saying anything. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, you're speaking the words, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things that he saith. What saith mean? To speak words. For something to come out of your mouth, right? Shall believe those things which he saith shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, prayer requires saying some things in many forms. Amen? There can be silent prayer. There can be meditated prayer. I'm talking about where you're decreeing things. When you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. To release faith requires you say some things. I call, you know, on a regular basis, I shouldn't say regular, but on, you know, just lost my word, on a regular basis to check credit card accounts. Amen. How much is in the account? You know, how much you got left on it? When's the bill due? That kind of thing. And anybody ever done that? Dial the number on the back of the card and they come on and they say, please say or enter your account number. I don't know what it is, but I always have to enter it because they do not understand my accent. Somehow, they have programmed that speech recognition program to only recognize flawed speech. Because when you have perfect utterance and enunciation, the computer just cannot interpret it. I have yet ever have me say the credit card number and they recognize it. Ever. Anybody else ever had it work? It never works for me. So you guys have perfect diction as well, right? In fact, there's a lot of times it'll say, do you want to continue? Say yes or no. And I'll say yes. Disconnecting, you know, they can't understand my yes. So I'm not the only one. Well, here's the thing. I always have to enter it. We mentioned getting into your account. You need to know the account number. To make a faith connection doesn't just require you know the account number. You must say the account number. Amen? You know, they call you and say, can you please give me your account number to access this account? And you say, yeah, I know that. Well, can you say it? I know it. I know the account number. They want to hear it said. Amen? You know, they call you and want to know, what's your social security number? I can't tell you. It's a secret. They want to know at least those last four digits anymore. Amen? What's the social security number? To access God's account, you may have all the faith in the world, but you have to say what you're believing you receive. You have to speak forth what God has promised. What are you doing? You're using your authority as a son of God, as a child of God, to activate His blessing in your life. To access or open that lock, that safe, that supply of God's provision for you. Because it's voice activated. You know, I'm sure deaf people can use the text or something if they want to. Hearing challenge, hearing impaired. But if you have a voice, you have to use the voice. There is no alternative, you know, punching in. Just taking the page of the book and hold up, there it is, God. He wants to hear words of faith come out. Not that He wants to hear it. Your words of faith carry the authority to release that blessing. It's not God going up, you don't know the password, you don't know the password. It's God put a specific process in place to release His power, and it's through believing and speaking. Did you follow me? He shall have whatsoever he saith. Romans chapter 10. Romans 10, and we know this passage, chances are. Verse 8, but what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thine heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. The word of faith is in your heart and it's in your mouth. It's in two places. If you want to receive from God, you have to have the word in two places. In your heart, a faith connection has been made. You follow me? Faith has been developed. And in your mouth, through speaking, faith is now being released. Again, to access from God, to activate the laws of the kingdom of God, require faith to be in two places, in your heart and in your mouth. And he goes on and he says, and if you will confess with thy mouth. Everybody say, my mouth. Grandma's mouth won't do. Mama's mouth's not going to do. The preacher's mouth's not going to do. God gave you your own mouth. Don't come up here after service trying to wiggle my lips. Just say it. Pray for him, God. Pray for him, Pastor. So what we do when we go to, you know, lead people in the baptism of the Spirit, what we should do, we take their mouth and say, shh, form the vowels, form the syllables. You have a mouth. If you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. I don't understand people have a problem with the faith message. There it is. Because every person, every evangelical that believes in the born-again experience uses this verse. We say, okay, you want to receive Jesus? Do you believe he's the Son of God? Do you believe he went to the cross for you? Do you believe that God raised him from the dead? Yes, I believe all that. Then with your mouth, declare Jesus Christ as Lord. What did you do? You use your faith and your mouth to receive of the power of God to rebirth you into the kingdom. That's faith. Faith in your heart and faith coming out of your mouth. Faith in your heart is knowing the account number. Releasing it out of your mouth is the voice activation process. Setting that Lion's Gate tumbler all into operation to open up those doors to your blessing. See, the church understands it regarding salvation. But it works the same way with every verse of Scripture. Every promise of God. How many know that salvation is a promise? To all who will believe. Anybody that will believe in Jesus and activate this verse, confess Him as Lord, you follow me, will be saved. I believe that. It's a promise of God. But God's got many more promises in the book. He's promised you healing. He's promised you financial increase. He's promised you your children will serve God. In fact, all your household shall be saved. You can walk in peace and joy and love and victory and strength. You can have great sleep. Amen. Even to the point of living free of hemorrhoids. It's all in the book. But you got to believe. And then speak. See, what I have to try to do in these messages is convince you and convict you to meditate the Word of God. I've got to convince you to develop your faith. Because if you don't, you'll be the same. If you can't spend time in the book and say, God, build me through this Word, and then you spend time meditating what the Word says, your faith will stay, at the same level, or even decrease because you're not seeing any results. Faith must be developed. The Word says that God gives to every man the measure of faith. And I'm of the belief that everybody gets the same measure when you're saved. You get a measure of faith once you're saved. That it is then your responsibility to develop. And based on how much you will spend time seeking God, meditating His promises, amen, prayer, fasting, tongues, will determine how high it grows, how big it gets. I don't want to stay with mustard seed faith. I want to grow the mustard seed faith into the tallest fruit-producing plant I can. Amen? Confess with your mouth and believe in your heart. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. See, the lessons on faith aren't always the most exciting to listen to. You know, it's fun to hear the messages about the power of God and the gifts of the Spirit moving out in supernatural life and, you know, hear about the promises. Oh, I can have all that, and especially when you get to righteousness. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I'm a new creation. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen. I have power to move mountains. Those are always exciting. But you don't do any of those others without getting a hold of what we're talking about on Sunday nights. Faith lets you access that power. I watched again here a month or so ago the movie The Pistol about Pete Maravich. Anybody ever seen The Pistol? Great, great movie. Christian movie. Christian developed movie. Great movie about his growing up. I believe it was when he was in eighth grade. And in eighth grade, he made the senior varsity team. Won the state championship. And he was the star. Eighth grade, a star. And little bitty guy. And it's the story of that year of what he went through to make the team. But the point is, he was a basketball coach's son, a college basketball coach's son, and he spent all of his life learning to dribble and to shoot, and that's all he knew. Spin the ball, do tricks. He learned nothing but basketball. And in the movie, they make it clear, it's actually narrated, Pete Maravich's best friend. I don't know if you're interested in this or not, but we'll go with it anyway. Anybody remember the movie Green Acres, or the show Green Acres? Green Acres is the place. When Pete Maravich got saved, he became best friends with another Christian. And it was Ebb off Green Acres. Remember Ebb?
Yeah.
And in the movie The Pistol, it's narrated, of course it was made after his death. In that movie, it's narrated by Ebb as if he was the voice of Pete Maravich. If you've ever heard it, that's actually Ebb's voice. And the movie makes it clear that Pete Maravich's growing up mindset was, if I'm not practicing, somebody else is, and they're possibly going to take my spot on a college team or in history. So he determined he would practice more than anybody else. I was mentioning that to somebody, and they told me Tim Tebow in his book said the same thing. That he figured if he was not working out, somebody else wasn't going to get his spot. And of course, now he's considered by many to be the greatest college player that ever played football. Amen. Pro career yet to be seen. The point is you have to be willing to do the workout to get to the fame. Pete Maravich is still to this day, played back, you know, late 60s, early 70s, to this day is still the highest scoring college player of all time. And set records that will never be touched by anybody else. Average, like, what, 40 points a game, something like that? Some unreal number he scored in college. And that's when you couldn't play your freshman year. You had to sit out your freshman year. And he still has the highest scoring player in college history. Didn't have no three, but that's a good point. No three-pointers either. And he could have nailed them. Could have drilled them. He could shoot from anywhere. Either hand, upside down, I believe. The point is, everybody wants the fame. They want to operate in that seen position. They want that level of God moving in their lives so we can take it back into the kingdom. But they don't want to do the workouts. And these meetings, we're talking about the workouts to go to the place of operating in the power of God. And it's not hard. Jesus said, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Amen? It's easy. It's just different than you're used to. And it will tamper with your personal time. Because we're used to punching the clock 8 hours. Okay, now it's all my time. Find me the lounge chair, the swimming pool, and a soda pop. I'm good to go. Or the TV remote. And we don't want to take the time to set aside some time. It doesn't take it long. To meditate the Word of God. To develop our faith. To build your faith. So when the need arises, you can step into it. Man, we had Samantha in here this morning. Wasn't that awesome? I'm telling you, my heart was leaping at her being in here. Shot in the head and stomach 4 weeks ago last night. And walking and talking and functioning. Supernatural miracle. Amen? But you know what? Somebody had to be doing their homework ahead of time for that to happen. Somebody was building their faith ahead of time to see that miracle take place. And I believe it's several people. Several people had their faith connected on that. Amen. Locked in on the Word of God and what it said. Me and my seed shall serve the Lord. So, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We never read that, did we? Verse 13. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. You're going to speak your faith once it's developed. You're going to speak regardless. You know that? Something's going to come out of your mouth. In fact, turn with me to James chapter 3. I'm going to teach you something Pastor Callan's been teaching of late. Proverbs 18, verse 20 and 21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Now, that's not me making it up. That's the Bible says that. God says, I put the power in your mouth to declare life situations out of life to come out of dead situations. Or if you don't learn to use it properly, bring death to a life situation. You can use it either way. That's why most people are they're speaking death into their life all the time. Sick and tired of being sick and tired. Amen. I'm dying to see you. Where do we get words like I'm dying to see you? Who do you think authored those phrases? You think God authored I'm dying to see you? Where would you get that? I'm dying to see you. I mean, the natural thing would be says I'm living to see you. But that ain't, you know, it doesn't sound right to us. Try one. Say I'm living to see you. Doesn't feel right, does it? You know why? Because you've been programmed all your life with I'm dying to see you. It runs contrary to your former programming, even though the former programming is wrong. That's why it takes effort to turn these things around. I remember when I learned, you know, I was the righteousness of God, and I started calling myself the righteousness of God. I was almost scared a lightning bolt would hit me. Because I knew what I'd done in the past. You follow me? I'm a saint. See, some of you probably still can't say it. Try it. I'm a saint. How'd that feel? Pretty good, huh? Amen? Say it in front of the wrong crowd and watch the rocks start flying. Can you imagine going to most churches? You know, they ask you to make an announcement and you say, just as a saint of God before you, I'd just like to make this announcement. They will escort you out. Just tell them, just say it like this, you know, as a saint of God, I just want to tell you I am, because of the gift of God, as righteous as Jesus. Oh, my. They'll be looking for a post to tie you, and somebody's going to try to find, you know, the Kingsbury or Kingsford charcoal, the self-lighting kind. Amen. It takes effort to turn these things around, to build your faith on what God has said versus what the enemy's programmed you with. It says in James chapter 3, let's go to verse number 1. My brethren, be not many masters. Actually, the better translation of that Greek word is teachers. Be not many teachers. Knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. Actually, that word means judgment. In fact, it's probably written in if you have a study Bible written in there somewhere, that is really judgment. Because you're a teacher, you're not going to get condemned. You follow me? But there's a stronger judgment on your life, either good or bad. You're responsible for what you teach. It says, for in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. I was pondering this the other day. Who do you think came up originally with the idea of putting a piece of metal in a horse's mouth? Let's just put this metal in their mouth, see if they'll go where we want them to go. Amen. It says the bit allows you to control the horse. And of course, if the horse gets his tongue over that bit, you're still not going to control him as well as you want to. You have to get a hold of the horse's tongue. That's what the bit does. It pinches that tongue. Amen? And so, it says by controlling the horse's mouth, you control his whole body. He says, behold also the ships, which though they be great, so great, and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, that's the rudder, whithersoever the governor, actually the captain, amen, the one steering, whichever way he listeth or guides it. You take a big boat, and of course back then they would use sails, and of course they still use rudders today. That boat turns the direction you turn that rudder. Amen? Wherever way you turn that rudder, it will control the entire direction of the ship. And he says the tongue is the same. Says in verse number 5, even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. Oh my goodness. So is the tongue among our members that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature and is set on fire of hell. Wow. Wow. It says your tongue controls the direction of your entire life, your entire body. And it's set on fire of hell. So now we have the answer. Where does I'm dying to see you come from? That was set on fire of hell, as well as many other things that we say that involve sickness, death, and defeat, Murphy's Law, nothing ever goes right for me, amen, anything can go wrong goes wrong at the worst possible time. Those are all sayings the tongue is releasing your authority, set on fire of hell. Again, death and life is in that power of that tongue. Here's another law of faith that people have to learn to become victorious. Again, you try to tell the average evangelical Christian they have to control their words. They think you're nuts. Yet it's the Word. I mean, we have whole sections of the Word involving the words you speak, and yet just like tongues, the church has cast down the revelation of controlling your words. Speaking the Word. Utilizing faith. So what do? We speak forth natural expectation. And in doing so, we circumvent the supernatural. We speak forth our circumstances instead of the Word. And what happens? We get our circumstances. We speak decline and decay of our circumstances. What happens? We get more of the curse. We listen to the natural reports and we speak them. What do we get? Natural results. And God says, you've got to turn that around. If you want to turn your life around, which is your body, when he talks about body, that's your life. You want to turn your life around? Turn your words around. These are spiritual principles. These are laws out of a different realm. This is not the natural, this is the supernatural. And we have to be of those that learn how to operate out of the supernatural laws and understand they have power over the natural laws. The tongue, what you say, will determine your results. Now he goes on and he says, for every kind of beasts and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. Amen. In other words, we as men have tamed everything. We've been able to domesticate or at least put in cages every kind of animal. Got a parrot at home always saying, bird out, bird out. And if we don't want him out, he has to stay in that cage. Amen. Why? He's been domesticated or tamed or trapped one or the other. But it says, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. The tongue can no man tame. We'll come back to that. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Does a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olive trees, either a vine, figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. Now this is somewhat crude, y'all bear with me, but this is the best example I know to get your attention. On your faucet, you don't have a fresh water tap and one hooked up to your toilet. I don't care how much you dial back to a low flow, the toilet faucet, that's still undrinkable water to me. In the same fashion, you go to the public swimming pool, they do not have a urinating end of the public swimming pool. You have a urinating end of this public swimming pool, all the water is unswimmable for me. Do you follow that? You cannot mix fresh water contaminated and have fresh results. In the same way, you can't speak faith and the curse out of your mouth and get faith results. You're neutralizing the power of your words. And it says here, no man can tame the tongue. No man. You're not the exception. No man can tame that tongue, because you get under pressure, something's coming out. And you can be speaking, oh, I'm blessed, I'm blessed, I'm blessed. When things get tough, oh, my life is just a mess. I hate my life, you know. I know I'm talking about other people at different churches. Doesn't apply to anybody here I know to no level. But under the influence of oppression, it has the capability to change our confession. That when things are great, we speak great. When things aren't, we speak the curse. What happened? Fresh water and polluted. And it pollutes the whole confession. You want supernatural results. You have to maintain your faith declaration. Otherwise, you're just neutralizing the whole thing. So what do we do? This is no man can tame the tongue. Amen? Well, look over at Matthew. Chapter 12. And let's go to verse number 33. Either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt, for the tree is known by his fruit. O generation of vipers. You know, here's the people that have a problem with me criticizing those who are attacking Christianity. And here's Jesus calling them a generation of vipers. To their face. Amen. Well, he shouldn't have done it. He should have been prayed for. Been compassionate. I don't believe Jesus had time to mess around with such things. Amen. For those that would come against his operation, his ministry. It says, how can you, being evil, speak good things? Here now Jesus is talking about the power of your words again. And the tree, he's talking about make the tree evil or the tree good. And he says, how can you, being evil, speak good? How can we, as a tree of righteousness, walk in the fullness of God if we speak evil? He says, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. No man can tame the tongue. And what that means is you get under pressure, something's coming out. And if you want to speak the right things, don't try to control the tongue. Fill yourself with the right stuff. The way you control your words is not trying to, you know, to count to 10 and bite your tongue. You're going to say something. But instead, fill yourself with the Word of God So when you get under that pressure situation, so much faith has been activated that the only thing that come out of your mouth is blessing. All that can come out of your mouth is faith. No matter how much the enemy's trying to compress you and assault you and, you know, and shake you, you keep speaking the word. See, the reason when we get under pressure, the wrong stuff comes out. Nobody get mad at me. I'm just telling you the word. The reason the wrong stuff comes out is because we have not brought in enough of the right stuff to displace the wrong stuff. See, I'm trying to imagine Jesus under pressure. Of course, we know he never experienced any pressure, right? Other than everybody wanting to crucify him, stone him, throw him off a cliff. Amen. People, you know, betraying him, wanting to whoop him. Did whip him, amen. And can you see him? Can you see him under that pressure? You know, here they're bringing a crown of thorns. He says, blankety blank, I've had enough of this blankety blank, 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 blank. I don't want to do this anymore, blankety blank, blank, blank. I can't see it. That we see him on the cross. Even when he's been disconnected from the Father, he says, Father, why have you forsaken me? Even at that point, he still says, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. Under that intense torture, still, the Word of God he'd spent all of his life filling himself with came out. I don't believe there's any profanity in him to come out. I think he'd gotten rid of every bit of natural dependency, that there was no curse to speak in him. Amen. And that's how we move to the highest levels in faith. It's about spending time meditating that word, chewing on the word like a cow chewing cud until it displaces all natural thinking. So under pressure, only word comes out. You don't have to catch yourself, you know, oh, don't say that. It can't come out because it's not there anymore. All that's in you is faith. All that's in you is the Word of God. And out of that abundance, under pressure, you speak. I'm trying to think of the right substance to use as the example. Whether it's something in the kitchen or something in the garage. But did you ever have a bottle? Say a bottle of salad dressing. Squirt bottle of salad dressing. And it wasn't shaken up good. So you start to squirt out and all you get is oil. You know there's other stuff in there. Had you shaken up, but you keep thinking, if I just squeeze a little more, it'll come out. Well, you keep squeezing that bottle long enough and all the settlings are eventually going to come out. Usually all at one time. It's like the mustard bottle. You first squeeze it and all you get is water and then the mustard comes out. You know, if you squeeze long enough, the mustard's going to come. In the same way, you squeeze a person long enough, what's buried down in there is going to come out. And it's going to cause you damage. And thus, what you bury down in there is the Word of God. And the more you squeeze you, the more pressure you come under, the more the Word just continues to surface out of your mouth. And watch blessings overtake you. Now, don't think that because, you know, when you get pressured, you speak the wrong thing, you can't use faith. That's not what I mean. You follow me? Start using your faith now. Watch it manifest. What I'm talking about is if you really want to see yourself being able to stand against the major forces of darkness, get so full of the Word that the curse can't come out. Amen. See, I've learned under pressure of physical symptoms, don't ever say you're sick. You used to say that, you know, you'd be bleeding for healing, but you get sick. I'm just sick. I thought I was healed, but I'm sick. What happened? What was really that in there came out? It doesn't come out anymore. I mean, I've had the devil, as you heard a few months back, like with an ice pick going through my head, felt like. Never said I was sick. I wasn't sick. I was under attack. Never responded in a fashion like, there's nothing I can do about this. Just continue to declare for several hours, I am healed. What happened? It broke. You got to get it in you till that's what comes out. in the same fashion. Can I take us another step? I know it's time to close. Give me another minute. Never say you're broke. You'll walk around talking about how you're wealthy, you're rich, God always prospers you. And under pressure, you know, when the bills were due and screaming, I'm just broke. Tired of being broke. Tired of not having anything. What happened? That shows what really was down in there buried. Because if faith is down there, it's going to come out no matter what the pressure. I am rich and living abundant. God always caused me to prosper. Amen. He's given me power to get wealth and He may establish His covenant with me. You keep speaking the word. Because you've taken time to hide the word within you. Faith cometh by chewing on the word of God like a cow chews cud. Father, I thank you for your word. You seal it in our hearts, minds, and understanding. You cause us to rise up and be people of extreme faith. We determine, Father, in fact, I ask you just to lead each person here into developing their faith to higher levels and learning to speak your word with confidence and authority. I thank you for it. I thank you those that not have recognized maybe they've made some wrong confessions. They start over tonight, and Father, you give them a fresh start in doing it right. And you take them into a time of just fueling them by your word and by your love. In Jesus' name, so be it. Amen. If you need special prayer for anything, healing.